When you get to Matos Masei, and you have to do a halachic shiur on the parsha, so the first real halacha that comes to mind is Hilchos Nedarim. I would wager that no one here has ever taken a neder or a shvua intentionally before. Right? It's not really a thing that we do, and the halacha actually encourages us to not do it, because lest you make a vow that you cannot keep.
They should probably inspect some of the Mishaberach,
some
people do,
which
a lot of people don't.
Very good. So we actually, it must have been a year ago, literally, when we started giving Shurim, I guess related to the Parsha or so, I spoke about our stucco vows and their halachic issues. So very good. So sometimes we pledge stucco, we don't realize it. So yeah, one of the earlier shears, I think we
some of the language varies in some of the different texts.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I got you. I'm clear. So some of the Mishaberachs do have a pledge, and some of them don't. So in the parsha, so we're going to learn here is the following. So Vaidaber Moshe al Roshei Hamatos. So Moshe speaks to the leaders of Bnei Yisrael, essentially the Bnei Yisrael. Hey, Mor Zeh Adavar Shishtav Hashem. Ish Ki Yidor Neder La Hashem. When a man takes a vow, Oishav Shvua or a Shvua, or a different neder versus a vow. So lesser Israel Nafsho Lo Yachel Devaro Kachol Yotzim Piviyaseh. So from this pasuk, we learn two of the 613 mitzvahs. Number one, He Shetivana Lekayim Kol Ma Shekiblu Al Nafshenu B'dibur. So if you were to take a shavua, if you were to make an oath, there's a biblical commandment on you to keep your word. Right? That is what the Torah says. And guess what? One of the examples in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs is a nethered staka. Or similarly, let's say you take a vow to bring a korban, something along those lines. So there is a positive commandment to do what you vow to do. Right? Very logical. Yet, in addition to that, there's another mitzvah. Shehiziranu is a lo saaseh me'avor ma'ashachayiv eno al atzmenu b'dibur. So anything that you vowed to do, let's say you did not live up to your own word, not okay. Says the Rambam, this is called the neder. And for example, let's say someone says, I want all the fruit in the world to be forbidden upon me. Or what? Yeah, another example, he says, I want all the wine or all the fish to be forbidden to me. And then he goes ahead and violates his neder. So that is an iser midoraisa because he went against his own word. Okay, very nice. So one might ask, very nice, okay, there are two mitzvahs in the Torah that relate to Nedarim, number one, to positively keep your vow, and number two, don't violate your vow, very nice. But what's the practical ramifications? Stuart said, and we discussed this last year, so if you make a real vow to give tzedakah, you make a pledge, and you were sincere about your pledge, you better live up to the pledge. And certainly that comes up all the time where people kind of back you into a pledge over the phone. You have to really know when to say B'li Neder, and if you don't say B'li Neder, what you really had in mind, and that material is on Y'u Torah. Baruch Hashem from a year ago or so. But this evening, we are actually going to connect the 9 days to this halacha because we will be forbidden to drink wine starting on Motzei Shabbos. And we have to figure out, is there actually a relationship between this mitzvah of not violating a neder and the minhagim of the 9 days? And believe it or not, there is going to be a rather surprising overlap between those two concepts, and to me, it was very surprising, because I would not have assumed. I would have assumed logically there's a thing called a neder. That's very binding. That's a biblical thing. 9 days, it's a minhag. You know, we want to call it the rabbanan, that's fine, but it's in the category called a minhag. And this evening, we're going to see that the concept of a minhag actually might have a lot to do with the concept of a neder. And there might be mamash attached at the hip and come from the exact same place in halacha. So buckle up. Here we go. So the Rashba, one of the most famous Rishonim, right? You have like Rashi, Rambam, the Rashba is right up there with the greats. And he was asked the Shaila about, can you perform a Shechita in the 9 days? So Peter, what do you think? You're a Shechita guy, let's say, hypothetically? Can you do Shechita next week?
I guess so.
Okay. By the way, well, where does Y.U. Smicha take us? Or at least they did when I was, they took us to a slaughterhouse in Paterson, New Jersey. My tzitzis smelled like dead animals for quite some time. My wife and I, Baruch Hashem, have not had any other, let's say, restraining orders other than the restraining order I was given. And I came up from the slaughterhouse that day where my wife mandated that my tzitzis be washed.
If you don't have refrigeration, what's the point of chef?
Oh, So very good. So Adam's pointing out, wait a minute, if you chef it, you're probably going to come to eat it. And you can't eat meat during the 9 days.
But the Rosh Hashanah is Friday.
Okay, so very good. So that's very good. So now we're getting, so you know, people making siumim, you have a bris, Shabbos Kodesh, so, but this is the Shaila, believe it or not. And in fact, the Shaila was about shechting on Tisha B'Av morning. Someone said it's mutter because whoever said it's usher, meaning you can't eat on Tisha B'Av. No one ever told us you can't shecht on Tisha B'Av. That was opinion number one. Opinion number two actually forbade it. Why? Because there was a minhag not to shecht. Such a minhag existed apparently in the times of the Rashba, and until midday, until Chatzos, until
only Tisha B'Av.
Correct. Yeah. All right. Well, very good. So the Rashba apparently was spoken to about this minhag that on Tisha B'Av proper. It was a minute not to shecht until very close to the end of the fast, right? And the question was, what's the deal? Should we be machmir? And the Rashba says, usher. We actually should be machmir to uphold this minute not to shecht an animal on Tisha B'Av morning. Again, this is not practical nowadays. We'll get to the practical point in just a second. And he says, certainly on Tisha B'Av, come on. Because what's up with all these minhagim? To try to get our attention off of our regular routine and have our minds more concentrated on the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. The whole point of all these various minhagim is to draw our attention on Yerushalayim. So if there's a minhag out there not to waste your time on Tisha B'Av shechting an animal, we're going to try to do that to concentrate better. And now here it is. Here is what the Rashba says, and I underlined it here. Migdola mizu nahagu abu seichem.
In fact, forget the minhag not to shecht an animal on at Tisha B'Av. There's actually another minhag, believe it or not, not to even eat meat from the time of the month of Av enters. Namely, this Shabbos is the beginning of Av. The Shabbos does not get included, and therefore, assuming Motzei Shabbos, we begin not eating meat. And he says, here's the key line. So there, he just called it a minhag, not to eat meat during the 9 days. The Av al pi she'ein kan iser klal mi din. A Talmud. You cannot call that a halachic requirement. The Gemara, the din, the law, by letter, never said one may not eat meat during the 9 days. That is not the letter of the law. Because guess what is the letter of the law? You're not allowed to eat meat at the Suda Mafsek, the very last meal one has before they begin their fast. Only and only that meal is there a formal prohibition to partake in basar. But even hypothetically, on Erev Tisha B'Av in the morning, you wanted to have a fleishik smil, not a problem whatsoever. And here we're at the end of the underline, the last line of the Rashba. Afilu chein mish ochel basar b'chol amokos amakom shenogu bo iser. Although I just finished telling you that it's not really a law, but rather a minog, nonetheless, anyone who violates this minog and eats meat during the 9 days, when in fact the minhag of his location is to not eat meat during the 9 days, he's in the following category. He's a poreitz geder. He breached the fence. Shall rishonim. And what does the pasuk say? Or does the pasuk in Kohelis? U poreitz geder, one who breaks a fence, literally, yeshchenu nachash. A snake should bite him.
Or a snake will bite
him. Right, all right, very good. So very good. So ultimately, what are the Rashbam saying?
Question.
What?
You notice the language over there?
What?
Nohagu avo seichem.
Yeah, very good.
Who's posing the question?
I don't know. That's your question. Right, so he's saying he's talking to someone who had to uphold.
Chem.
Very good.
Not my fault.
Very good.
It seems like it could be coming from some Ashkenazi source, perhaps. I don't
100%. No, you're saying very good. So, and we're going to get to that in a second. We're going to list all the various Menhagim. But this person who was at, right, very good. So we have a concept here in the Rashba like this, but the main point I want to highlight is the Stuart made a very, very, very important point that we'll hone in when we get to the tour. But the Rashba's point was like this. Yes, not eating meat during the 9 days is in the category of minhag. Yet, if you violate this minhag, that's not at all okay, and there's a threat that a snake will come and bite you. Now, what is that? It's a very funny concept, right? The Rashba's throwing a pasuk of Kohelis at us. Like, yeah, it is a Gemara also. It's not the Rashba. The Rashba didn't make it up. And we find this concept in Shulchan Aruch sometimes, that if someone violates a minhag, they slap this pasuk on him, and there's a threat of a snake bite. Right?
As true as a threat. I think it's a consequence.
What's the difference?
The difference is like this. we'll take it literally. You break a fence.
Yeah.
A snake comes in and bites you. Okay. So you break a fence that was meant to protect a drabanan, in this case a minhag, and then the bigger avera will come and get you.
Very good. Very good.
I don't know how it works out over here though exactly.
Well, you're going to forget the Chorban, or you might come to Iran, Tisha B'Av, or the Shidim of Shekes. Right, so Stuart's saying that it's inevitably going to lead to a problem, a practical, a lachic problem. Very, very smart, yeah.
It's the three small problems.
Yeah.
Before it's get there, it means it's meant to be a shield blast. Right? So once you, before it's get there, the shield, the barrier falls down.
Very good. So we're pointing out here that there's this halachic category here where one who violates a minhag did something wrong. Did he violate a d'oraisa? Seemingly not. According to Pasuk and Kohelis, right? Did he violate a d'rabbanan? I don't know. Did he violate anything? I don't know. We're just like kind of slapping a pasuk at him. It's a funny response.
Not really.
What do you think?
We have us masters all the time.
Okay, so if it's a smachta,
and we have minhagim are important. I mean,
no, but that is my question. What is this? Is it a smachta? Namely, are we saying really it's a biblical, violation, and we're just phrasing it in a funny way, or are we saying it's not a good mida? It's a minhag. So what is the what is the punishment, so to speak, for violating a minhag? Because let's say I'm not so afraid of snakes, right? I'm saying it's a funny thing to say. That, listen, if you violate a d'oraisa, you get killed. If you violate a d'rabbanan, hypothetically, you get lashes. So, again, not literally. And if you violate a minhag, we're going to just quote a pasuk in Kohelis, which is a little scary.
You chicken and milk. You may come for it together.
Right.
Then you'll eat meat and milk, and that's the nachashas of d'oraisa.
I'm saying you just might.
Like, why is it such a question? Because the chachamim always do that. They make their. They were so difficult because right. to show you that it's important.
So you're right. To take it serious. Right. So, so they're just trying to make a point. They're just trying to make a point. Okay.
You don't touch. You don't violate Shabbos.
Right. So the warning is if you do this, it will lead. Right here. So they're saying that you better not violate the Rabbanan because it's going to lead to future halachic issues. So here the Rashba basically is saying that one better not violate their minagamakom if you live in a place where you don't eat meat during the 9 days, so you cannot violate that. And he has the lashon at the end. It's a poritz geder yishchanu nachash shel divrehem. As Stuart pointed out, because the earlier generations have taken it upon themselves to uphold this minhag, we have an obligation to follow suit. Is it a din in the Gemara? No, it's a binding minhag. The binding minhag. So again, the reason why I want to point out the nuance is because it's not a Gemara. We're associating what Stuart and Adam are basically saying is that, what do you mean, this is a din d'rabbanan? And my point is that, no, it's not a din d'rabbanan, it's a chiddush. The Gemara never told us about this. This was a minhag that turned into a chiyuv. And that is interesting. That is different.
Are we going to say halal on Shabbos?
Of course we are, because it's a minhag.
It's a minhag. It's not halach.
And a chanak. So Dr. Clark always points out that, what do you mean? Come on. That's not such a good story. Let's see the different minhagim, and you'll see what I'm going in to say.
Make a bracha on a
minhag. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, minhagim. Yeah, right. So minhagim are a big deal in this religion, no question about it. So, Aviyazir. So the first minhag quoted in the tour of the Avi HaEzri is the Nag Avoshina Shalo Lirchotz Mei Rosh Chodesh. So one opinion was no bathing starting from Rosh Chodesh Av. That is in fact our minhag. Again, practically speaking, you don't have to worry about that taking a shower. We can speak about that on the practical level another time. The Yesh Alinu Lekai Mishum Al Titosh Toras Yimechen. That line of tour makes sense to me. That is a pasuk which says, don't veer from the Torah of your mother. That is a source from minhagim. If your mother did it, you do it. Right, that I like. That is a classical source from minhagim.
I'm saying it's not Torah Sabicha. Torah Sabicha would be the Rabbanan.
Yes.
Or the Doraisa. So it's Torah Simcha.
Very good. Very good. So I want to get back to that Poritz Geder Yishchanu Nachash concept because the line of the Torah in contrast is a familiar concept. V'yesh Perushim, and by the way, there are these other people who are particularly pious. Shemes Anim Yitzayin B'Tamas. In fact, they fast all the way starting on Shivas of Thomas, Ve'elach, and they keep on going. Shlomo was like, I don't want to boast my religious views, but let's just say, Shlomo Menashe is a firm guy. So, V'yesh mis'anim mi'baser v'yayin. Some only fast, i.e. from the 3 weeks already, from baser v'yayin, and then he quotes that in Minhagim, And then here in the third line, minig Ashkenaz, what is the, you know, minig of Ashkenazi Jewry, hayechidim, those who are particularly pious, i.e., whether Fox News calls you a religious person or not, okay. So you will not eat meat or wine starting from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. So we join the particularly pious, meaning the rest of the community also, starting from Rosh Chodesh Av, does not eat meat or wine except for Shabbos. And that is, we know, the minhag of Asena. That's what we do in our communities, minhag Ashkenaz. Now, in the last line of the Torah, he writes, V'asr l'shanos minhag av Asena. You are not allowed to violate the minhag. Okay, so not such a crazy chiddush so far to say that minhagim are binding. So we saw a Rashba and we saw a Tur, which both had, both Rishonim, who are saying this level of minhag is binding and you will be penalized seemingly for violating that minhag. Now let's say the Shulchan Aruch presents this halacha. Guess what the Shulchan Aruch says? Kol mi she'ochel basar, b'makum she'nogim bo iser. Anyone who eats meat in a place where it is forbidden by minhag to eat meat, let's say you were to go have a shawarma that's coming Sunday night. Together who? V'inashchenu nachash. Koheles yirchen. So there it is. The Shulchan Aruch passing is like the Rashba. He doesn't quote the pasuk of not violating the Torah Siyamach. He quotes the pasuk of Kozum the Rashba. It's on the books that if you violate this minhag, a snake will come or should come and bite you. All right. Now, what if I'm daring? What if I'm a little bit rebellious? I'm not afraid of snakes. And I'm feeling a little hungry tonight. So what have I violated? What have I violated? Then there are one in a minhag. What have I violated?
A minhag.
So it's a
minhag.
I'm specifically presenting the question this way, just to bother Adam. Okay, so extra dessert, Debbie, later this evening. Adam needs to be calmed down after tomorrow this evening. But here's the Aruch HaShulchan. It's all set up for the Aruch HaShulchan. This is a lumnish Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, again, the gadol of Europe, of Yechiel Michel Epstein, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. Aruch HaShulchan was such a hero. And what does he say? Again, Medina de Gemara, from the letter of the law, you're only not allowed to eat meat when? On Erev Tisha B'Av at the Shulim Afsek. Right, we know this one. That's the letter of the law. Aval Kfar Kiblu Avosenu, but the minhag has become, for many hundreds of years, not to eat meat and not to drink wine already from Rosh Chodesh Av until after Tisha B'Av, except for Shabbos. Why not, by the way? What's the significance of not eating meat and drinking wine? Here's the first time we're actually seeing a reason for this minhag, right? It's not just a coincidence, but meat should be associated with korbanos, and the lack of meat should be associated with the lack of korbanos. The lack of wine should be associated with the lack of yayin and nesachim that we are unable to bring, unfortunately, this generation. And then, of course, different minhagim, like we've seen all evening. Some people actually had a minhag to not eat meat already from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, because what korban stopped then? The korban tamid, so we don't eat meat to remember that korban. And then some people have a shivu shechalbo minhag, which, by the way, would have tremendous nachmina this year when there is no shivu shechalbo. But here it comes. Here's the Aruch HaShulchan we've waited for. Aval ata b'chol artos puzirenu nagim min Rosh Chodesh. So the minhag, like our minhag in Fairlawn, New Jersey, 2021, is to only not eat meat and drink wine. No drinking wine starting Rosh Chodesh. Ata b'avu nesenu harabim. That's the Aruch HaShulchan in the 1800s in Europe. Many people violate, they couldn't hold on to their typhus, and they've actually been eating meat and drinking wine during the 9 days. Here's the key line. Ulevad shehein ovrim iser d'oraisa. So number one, they just violated an iser d'oraisa. Why did they violate an iser d'oraisa? It's a minhag. So,
I mean, like the children of Moshe says, you know, taking down, if you don't have mechitz in shul, you know, it's the derisive of having mechitz in shul.
Ooh.
It's not. Yeah. But he wants to make it serious.
Okay. There's a more halakha. It's a very nice shot, but there's a more halakha against it.
Tarsh Dharm, say Ol Han Pagda.
There's two right here.
Yeah. Shosh Pami. So yeah,
All right. So the next two words in the Aruch HaShulchan are groundbreaking. You know why this is an Isser Midoraisa? Ta'am Neder. Our Parsha matters. Right? It's a violation of a vow. Now, wait a minute. It's not a violation of a vow. No one here has ever taken a vow to not eat meat and to not drink wine during 9 days.
I can't make a vow for my son to do so.
Oh, so very good. And I can't take a vow for the next generation, but the Aruch HaShulchan explains. The Kevin Sha'avosenu Kiblu Aleim Minag Zeh, because our mamas and our papas have already taken upon this minhag, have a neder shel klal Yisrael. I.e., what's that called? The neder shel klal Yisrael. What's that called, though? What's that called? The neder of klal Yisrael. You're right, you're stuck.
A minhag.
There it is. So that's what I've been trying to point out this whole evening. That's the point I was trying to get to. We haven't halachically boxed in minhagim until this point. Aruch HaShulchan is telling us that a minhag is no thing to just pui-pui. A minhag is a neder of the community. And in the same way, a personal neder is halakhically binding and is an isser midoraisa to violate it, a communal minhag has the status in halakha as a neder.
So like a social concept.
I like
right.
That.
As a social, as it says, Mr. Strassman, a social contract. You, but I would argue that, a social contract, you can have someone who is socially daring and socially awkward. This is like...
We usually translate a minhag as a custom. He seems to be saying minhag is a little bit more than that. It's something we've all taken on for hundreds of years and then violate it.
I'll tell you, by the way, I'm not surprised that the tone of people who might be over the age of 40 is a little bit different than the people who, some of us who might be under the age of 40. Now, why is that? Because minhagim used to actually be the main way we had Masorah. You had Mishnah Berurah, chances are your Rebbe didn't teach you everything. You had a father who had a father who had a father. And that's the way you got taught. In our generation, we talk about me and Hanan. We're going to pair Shlomo with the younger guys here. All right? I had Shlomo awkwardly. Shlomo, you're like 25, right? Yeah. That's right. We'll take it. No, Shlomo's a young guy. He is. But I'm just trying to, all right, just a cute little bits of Torah. Shani Mandelstam, love her to pieces. She's turning 7 very shortly, actually. This is a new Madrega for me. She comes up to me this week and says, Abba, why don't you have hair over there? She points to this part of my very intentional hairdo. So let's just say I'm trying to make myself feel better by pointing out that I might be a little younger than you. That's not about you. Shlomo, it's about me. All right, so what's the concept here? That Minhagim used to be a bigger deal, dare I say. Nowadays, the Mishnah Berurah did a lot of quote-unquote minhag creating. Or Moshe Feinstein did a lot of minhag creating. Rav Soloveitchik did a lot of minhag creating.
Rav Soloveitchik analyzed minhagim just as much as he analyzed.
All right, so very good. So that's a unique Brisker.
Yeah.
Very good, very good, very good. But you have to realize, though, that didn't necessarily continue in the sense that the way the Mesorah is being passed on to the generations now is, we'll say, less about what people, a little bit less what people are doing as much as what's being brought down in like Sifre Halakha.
Oh, yeah, you're echoing Professor Feinstein.
That's exactly. So Rabbi Chaim.
26th year anniversary.
That's exactly. So the Rav's son, Dr. Grach, as they call him. Dr. Grach, because he's named after the great Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And he is a rather brilliant professor of the name of Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son. It's the Rav's son, i.e. his great-grandfather, right, was Rav Chaim, like the Rav Chaim. And Dr. Graf is a rather accomplished Talmud Chacham himself. He has Svarim, I just saw one of his Svarim from I forgot what it is already, but he's published quite a few things. And maybe his most famous work is where he explained the transition from Minog to Svarim. And he actually, if I'm not mistaken, was kind of lamenting that it used to be that people would have a minhag and it was a beautiful part of our religion and our culture that's kind of getting lost.
Lamenting.
Yeah, what?
That word created. Semitic.
I don't. I know. I haven't read it from.
Because everything's being written down. Yeah. The last 150 years.
100%.
That's why.
100%. We know why. Yeah. All right. So we got to kind of sum up over 923 already. But what I wanted to point out is that this is a massive line of halacha, because we are now defining a minog as a nether of the community. Now, I originally thought that this was a cool, unique chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan, but it is not. It predates the Aruch HaShulchan, and it is in fact a shita in the Rishonim and Tosfos, and it's codified in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Nedarim. Hilchos Nedarim is found in Yoredeya, in Siman Reish Yud Dalet. I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. The Aruch HaShulchan also just concludes with some Musar. It says, besides for the fact that they're violating Yisrael Midoraisa by eating meat and drinking wine on the 9 days, they're forgetting like the fact that you're supposed to be mourning the base of Migdash, like hello. You know, it's like, you know, besides for like halachic ramifications, like remember like the base of Migdash? All right. So the Shulchan Aruch writes the following. Something is in your day, a Reish Yud Dalet. I think it's about, I think there are only two sifim as it is in that. Maybe three. It shouldn't be too hard to find. If you're looking for it, Reish Yud Dalet. Something that's halachically permissible, but someone actually decides to make an usher upon themselves. I eating meat next week is technically mutter, but we have accepted upon it ourselves as a isser. There it is. Boom. It says the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch. Very good.
Of course it's ke'ilu.
All right, ke'ilu. So that's a key line, key word, rather. So it's once you decide to take upon yourself an isser, it's as if you have made a neder, and therefore it is halachically binding. Guess what? One of the examples is in the Shulchan Aruch. Someone who normally does not eat meat nor drink wine from Rosh Chodesh Av and onward. So namely, he just said black on white, the massive chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan is already hiding Hilchos Nedarim in the Shulchan Aruch. That this is a neder! If you drink wine next week, you're violating a neder. There it is. Obviously, there is a exception to every rule, but he says if you want to violate it, you have to do a Taras Nedarim. Now, a little bit of lumbus. The Aruch HaShulchan said this was an Issur Midoraisa. Still a big kiddush. Because the Birkei Yosef comes on and says, whoa, it's a machlokas. Is this a Doraisa or a Rabbanim? To violate a neder is a Doraisa. But what word did the Shulchan Aruch say? He said, when there is a minhag to take upon an isser, it's ki'ilu aneder. What does the word ki'ilu mean? It's as if it's comparable to aneder. And therefore, the Birkei Yosef concludes definitively, this is only a din d'rabbana. So if someone were to eat meat next week, what do they violate? A minhag. Is violating a minhag bad? Oh, you bet it's bad. It's mitam neder. Is that a real neder on a d'oraisa level? According to the Aruch HaShulchan, you bet. According to the Birkei Yosef, the Derabanan. It's like the De'oraisa, but it's not actually the De'oraisa. It's important to point out, whenever we discuss this concept, the OCD people go a little crazy. And Hanan here is a specialist in social work, and he's the guidance counselor of KBC. If anyone has any problems, I'm going to just point, you know, Hanan helps people. We'll just say it like that. And if you feel like you are a little messed up, Hanan can help you. All right, so, you know, no better commercial for that. All right, so says the Pischei Tshuva, according to Dogma Revava. Dogma Revava, what a gadol Revava. So the Dogma Revava is the Nod of Yehuda, and he says, like, it's a very, very important rule of thumb. Of course, Menagam are binding, but sometimes things come up, like a Bris Mila. You need to do a Taras Adam next week if your Bris Mila comes up next week.
He's never meant for that.
Oh, no.
That was part of the whole.
Very good. Because built in into the DNA, so to speak, of the nether was some loopholes. So if you have a bris, if you're sick, you can't just assume that the nether is binding in every hypothetical scenario, because, you know, things come up. And that's included in the nether. I leniencies are included in this nether. And by the way, who quoted this last year? Big time during COVID of Shechter, where we had to come up with some serious hetavrim, like Pesach stuff and Chametz stuff. Rav Shechter said, a lot of what we do is mitam minhag. I like kidneys. And sometimes we can't keep our minhag because we just can't. So like, did we have to keep kidneys last Pesach? I'm not even going to violate that one. But
it says in Shulchan Aruch that if there's a
Sakana. So I don't remember what Rav Shechter exactly said. It came up last year where Rav Shechter used this line of the Dagmar Vava to come up with some serious... I think it
was a guy who was living in a community or something, that there was just nothing else other than Chitlios.
So during COVID, this Dogel Bar Vava came up big, because we had to come up with scenarios where, listen, it's really not us, it's just Misham, Mishum Neder, Mishum Minog.
The Egg Matzah.
Egg Matzah, exactly, right? Well, that's the difference. Yeah, all right, so just in conclusion, where this is so brilliantly worked out is in Ramosha Feinstein, where he wants to address Malava Malka this Motzei Shabbos.
So let's say someone's always marked for Dosha Malava Malka.
Oh, it's Machlokas. Some say yes, say Chemet quotes opinions in Armekio, and Rav Nevinsal does not say such, he says Nyeshe Hikilu, but Ramosha Feinstein assumes that it's Usher. Didn't you halachically bind yourself? It's you did it three times. Now it's a neder. If you do a good thing three times, it's a neder. It's no. Because that neder is up against another neder, right? And look what Ramosha says. It must be when you took upon yourself to be marpet, to only have meat from Lama Malka. What you really meant to say was, I'm only marpet to have meat when the halacha allows for me to have meat. But built into my neder was a loophole for the 9 days. So here you see an explicit source where Ramosha is kind of expressing these menhagim as like neder versus neder, and using this Dogel Mervava in action, where he says, built into your chumrah of only eating meat from our market is a loophole, and it doesn't include the 9 days. So just literally it's 9:29. It should be noted, obviously, there are many heterim to eat meat next week. Chola, Shabbos, Mila, Pinyon of Ben, and the Suda's Mitzvah. And that all speaks to the fact that there's only Mishum Neder, Mishum Minog. If this was a real Isser, there wouldn't be so many examples of Heterim. And it does at least give us a proper context to making a Siyam next week. You can understand why the Mishnah Berurah is less than excited about people who go out of their way to make a Siyam next week, because it's like there is a Minog to uphold. Granted, if you happen to finish a Masechta next week, go out and make a Siyam. But what if you don't normally eat meat at a Siyam? Like, what are you doing? You know? As I say, many are Mekim, many are into Torah and Siyumim during the 9 days, and that's the medic of the summer camps, so no need to poke fun at it. But the Mishnah Berurah, you can understand, also is very into upkeeping the Minog, and not to find every detail that doesn't already exist. All right, so a little bit about Nedarim, which should be Zohar to keep our Minhagim, and be Zohar to see the ultimate Minhagim of the day, so maybe it's from